Well, again, it's been fun this week, and overall, you know, I do a lot of different. No, I'm not using the Bible. I'm an evangelist. I don't use the Bible. You know, overall, from my observation, I think you got a good year, school year coming. You know, the kids, you got duddified people in every place you speak or work with, but they seem to be respectful. Maybe scared of me, I don't know. But overall, it seemed like a pretty good spirit, didn't it? I mean, the kids got a little better as we went along and sang a little louder, a little more heartily. This put my voice to the test. Y'all with me? You know, I've had the voice procedure and all that stuff. And I had to kind of stretch it, to say the least, this week, because I did 15 minutes every session of singing with the kids and then kicking into 45 minutes of preaching. So I did all the versions I had of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. She'll Be Coming Around Honolulu, Come Around Acapulco. I did She'll Be Boating Down the River When She Comes. She's Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes. Yo, babe. I did all of those, okay? And, of course, we had to do, for certain people, like folks that sit on the back road that are teenagers, I had to do Drama Queen twice. And it's all her fault, right back there. Everybody look, yeah, that's the queen, that's the drama right there. But we did have a good time. Pastor, you want me to do a fun song for him? Do you mind? Would you care? Right? Would that offend, if you'd like step out for a minute till I get, this is like going to camp, okay? And it's a goofy song, and just don't let it flip your wagon. Just stay with me. The song that I think is most needed today and very current is a song I wrote called Why Did I Get That Tattoo? Have you noticed how ugly people have made themselves today? Are you folks with me? You know, the game of in nursing homes in the next 10 years will be guess that tattoo. Because you get older, it becomes a mere blob on your flesh. Now, I got some mature people here, old folks. And you remember back when we were kids, the only guys that got tattoos were the ones that were in the service, got drunk, and didn't know they got a tattoo. You know, they didn't do it on purpose. You know, it was one of those kind of things. So this is pretty funny. How many of you have never heard, Why Did I Get That Tattoo? Would you raise your hand up so I can see it? Oh, hang on for the ride. It goes like this. It's the chorus. Why did I get that tattoo? It seemed just like a right thing to do. Now my skin's wrinkled and sagging, and so are my tattoos. Tell me, why did I get that tattoo? My first tattoo, I was dating Myrtle. My second, I was in love with Betty Sue. Now 45 names later, with 44 marked through. Tell me, why did I get that tattoo? Why did I get that tattoo? It seemed just like a right thing to do. Now my skin's wrinkled and sagging, and so are my tattoos. Tell me, why did I get that tattoo? Feeling patriotic, I got a flag tattoo. I said, give me one of those soaring eagles too. Now my ego looks like roadkill and my flag really needs pressed. Tell me, why did I get that tattoo? Join along, people! No, you don't have to. Why did I get that tattoo? If you know it, you can help me. It seemed just like a right thing to do. Now my skin's wrinkled and sagging and so are my tattoos. Tell me, why did I get that tattoo? I wanted folks to know I loved my mama. So I had mom tattooed across my chest. Now my chest is in my drawers and mom turned into wow. Explain it to the person next to you later. Why did I get that tattoo? Let's go on a course. Here we go. Why did I get that tattoo? If you have to explain, it's not funny. It seemed just like a right thing to do. Help me, boys. Now my skin's wrinkled and sagging, and so are my tattoos. Tell me, why did I get that tattoo? Yeah, why did I get that tattoo? You may applaud. Yes, it's all I get. It's all I get. We're not taking an offering. So, okay. Silly, I know. Well, that's on the CD back there, and you've been tortured by that, many of you. So, but it's been fun to do that. You know, I didn't know I could write songs until I was challenged to write songs. Have I told you this before? I was up at Northland Camp, and I'm pretty much a rookie evangelist. And Marty Heron, knowing my entertainment background, said, "Maynard, we need a camp chorus." I don't read music. I don't write music. He says, "You can do it." Okay. You know, you never know what you can do until you're a volunteer for Jesus. Instead of saying no, you say, "Well, I'll give my best." And you know what? It's turned out to be a phenomenal, wonderful, impacting ministry. Not just the silly stuff, but all the kids' choruses and all that. Well, then he said, "Well, we need some songs for Pioneer Village. We're starting a junior camp." I wrote all those. And he said, "Well, you know, I'm tired of all these missionary choruses. They're just outdated stuff. We need some more." So I said, "Well, okay." Well, the golden goose that I had was, of course, Northland's a Bible college at that point, and a lot of the faculty were there and helping at camp during the summer. So I had the music department. I'd get the tune. I'd get it all thought through in my brain. Then I had handed this brilliant guy named John Ensminger, and he'd score the whole thing out. And this is kind of the rest of the story. And what a blessing to, again, just discover that kind of wherewithal to do that kind of ministry. So it's good. I'm going to do another one here. You haven't heard this one. This is not fun one. This is a fun one, but not a funny one. And it's called "The Lord Is There." And he's always there, but it's an echo song. So I'll sing, "The Lord is there." And then you'll say, "He's always there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. He's always there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own." You think we can do that? Let's try it. Ready? It's a little higher. That'll help me. The Lord, let me go a little higher here just because my voice is a little stretched out. Let's go like that. The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own. Let me see if I can get a verse. I don't do too many solos anymore. In this world are many people living life in despair, consumed with the thought nobody cares, forsaken, forgotten, or in brokenness of heart. There's only one always there when a life falls apart. Ready? The Lord is there. He's always there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. He's always there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own. Did you get that, Lawrence? I was impressed myself. Okay, I'm sorry. I preached on pride today, and I've got a problem with pride. No, I would just I did that for Lawrence because he's a guitar player. I don't normally throw that in, but yeah, I did. You're going to want my autograph. All right, let me do the next verse. Okay. Jesus Christ is the answer to the troubles we bear. He brings peace to a heart when life seems unfair. Forsaken, forgotten, or in brokenness of heart, when the Lord saves your soul, then with joy you can sing. Ready? The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there, He's always there. He will never forsake His own. He will never forsake His own. Nah. I haven't got that one recorded or scored out yet, but I love that chorus, especially to do with congregations. It's real fun when you got about 400 or 500 people out there and they start just getting that melodious blend going. It just makes you melt. It's really a blessing. What we did for the kids, and I think some of the kids have never sung this. Did you kind of get that too, Pastor? We did God is So Good. Who doesn't know God is so good? But you know, some of these kids have come from the twilight zone spiritually, and they just have never been blessed with what we're so spoiled with. So Pastor said, why don't you sing God is so good with the congregation? He said, I really enjoyed that. Of course, he can't hear a thing I'm doing. But you know, it's just, again, I've had to increase my volume in conversation, you know. So I've been talking about Him. He doesn't even know it. Okay, let's try it. God is so good. A little louder, come on. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Give me a verse. That's what I did with the kids. He answers prayer. Here we go. Don't say it until I call on you, young lady. He answers prayer. Give me volume. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. This side of the room, you got a verse? I love Him so. I love Him so. Show it on your face. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. This side of the room. I had never done that one. He gives good gifts. He good gifts. Well, that's hard to remember. Yeah, here we go. He gives good gifts. He's so good to me. Somebody give me a simpler verse for me to be able to say yes, man. He's coming soon. We're going to do that last. Give me another one. I love Him so. Did we do that already? We did that one. How about I'll do His will? We did that. Let's do that one. I'll do His will. We could do this all night. I'll do His will. Give me more. I'll do His will. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. Here we go. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. First verse, one more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Thank you for that bass part, brother. That was down there with those Statler brothers right there. I'm telling you, he went down to the toenail, low bass voice. Is he in the choir? He better be. Get that guy in the choir. He's got melodious tones oozing. I doggly, you heard it too, didn't you? It was really, I mean, I'm going, who in the world? I know it's not Pastor. He can't carry a tune or a bucket. You know, he told me that himself. I'm not picking on Pastor, but I like to. I just did that. Last year, I was invited to do a session or so in a Sunday school convention in northern Indiana. And I don't do that kind of thing a whole lot, but I was excited for the opportunity. I knew the pastor real well. We've been buds for a long time. And he says, I've got a topic, though, I need you to tackle. He said, we're getting a little sloppy in our ministry endeavors, so I want you to do a challenge on the spirit or testimony of excellence. I thought, I like that. You know, I think that would be a great study as well as a great opportunity to encourage these. And these are the folks that get it done. You with me? When they come to a Sunday school convention type of thing like this or training time, they're already busy in the trenches doing a work for God. I like to preach those kind of people because they're just hungering and thirsting to know more, to do better, to honor Jesus Christ. And they're wide open and attentive to what's taking place. So what I did the internet search like you do today. There are like a zillion and one quotes on excellence. Now, I can't give them all to you. We'd be here till tomorrow morning. But I'm going to give you some that I think will be encouraging to your heart. Then I'm going to help you understand how God expects us to have that spirit and testimony of excellence. So let's bow our heads and hearts. Let's ask God to help us in this. You know where we're supposed to end up. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this week. Thank you for allowing us to be used of you. And Lord, I'm just a part of the team here. These teachers, the staff, Lord, what a joyful group to serve with and come along beside. And Lord, they got a good thing going here. I pray, God, they'll stay faithfully focused on you. And Lord, continue to press toward that mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Lord, tonight as we look to maybe notch it up a little bit, or maybe even improve our ministry endeavors, that Lord will catch on to what you're going to present here today through this message, here tonight through this message. So Lord, again, we thank you. Again, look forward to this opportunity. I'm excited to do it for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we go. Now, I tell you, till I did this particular lesson, I've never quoted this old guy. You ever heard of Aristotle? Yeah. I've never quoted him till now. Okay, listen to this. I got two from him. He says, excellence is never an accident. It's always the result of high intention, sincere effort, and intelligent execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. That'll preach in and of itself. He went on to say in this quote, with regard to excellence, it's not enough to know, but we must try to have and use excellence. Now, another guy of a different mindset of brilliance for pastor, the sportsman here, Pat Riley. Okay, he was a coach, but he said it this way. He said, excellence is the gradual result of always striving to do better. Then a guy that I don't agree with his politics, but I appreciate his service for our country, Colin Powell, he said it this way, if you're going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is a prevailing attitude. That's gooder and good too. Here's a simple one. You know, I like the simple, hay down with the horses to eat it here. Excellence is doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. And again, I can go on and on and on, but here's why we even bother with this topic of excellence, because we serve the God of excellence. That's why. Well, he's perfect. I'm nowhere close. You know, God never tells us that we're to be perfect. What's God's goal and objective for our right choosing? He just wants us to be faithful, doesn't he? Just faithfully doing what he says needs to be done and give our all and best the best we can do. Let me give you the verse. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I told the kids, when I preach, especially when I'm dealing with teenagers, I always try to get a memorable phrase, you know, or a statement that'll just help keep this boat floating down the river of faithful choosing. And here's the big statement for the hour as far as excellence is concerned. God wants us to do our best to best represent Him, to bring glory and honor to Him. That's the nugget there. Let me say it again. God wants us to do our best to best represent Him, to bring glory and honor to Him. Now, I've been here long enough for most of you. You already know my life verse, I think, quoted it Sunday, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and you know it well, so Say it with me, would you please? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That was a little wimpy, but you got through it with me, and I appreciate it. But folks, this is to be reflected in all we say and all we do. It's still true in attitude and action. We're here to manifest Christ and again to glorify Him. Now, why is that responsibility so again awakened to our minds and hearts? Because of this challenge. For you're the temple of God. You're bought with a price. You're here to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We will never accomplish this kind of excellence testimony unless we again strive to have that excellent representation. God wants us again to do our best to best represent Him, and that's a choice of faithfulness, striving for a testimony of excellence. Whether it's secular or sacred, don't you appreciate when things are done right? I mean, don't you really? I love coming here because I know it's going to be organized because of Mrs. Pastor. Y'all with me here? I just know. I mean, Pastor may be just bonker brains and out of sorts, but she just keeps it looking good in the neighborhood. You with me? But when you have a ministry this sharp and this clean, it's an on-purpose choice. It's something you've got to constantly pay attention to. Or it doesn't again manifest itself like 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Let me give you an example, boys and girls. Let's do a comparison here. How about Chick-fil-A and any other fast food restaurant? You know, with me here? There's no comparison. You know, you got like three lines of cars wrapped around Chick-fil-A, and they're popping them through, and the only cars at Burger King are the ones that are broken down from last night. Are you with me here? Who wants to go there? They're dirty, they're disorganized, and it's just amazing contrast. Now, I know they're a Christian organization as far as the founding's concerned, but they on purpose train their people to be given to hospitality. To be gooder than good, as we'd say, and really setting forth a representation of excellence. Now, I'm going to show my girl side here. We said, we already know you're a big sissy. Well, I know that. I love to shop. I do. And here's a contrast. Hobby Lobby, girls, you know what I'm talking about here. Guys, you should if you love your wife, versus Michael's. There's no comparison. You with me here? I mean, Hobby Lobby hit it out of the park. I'm telling you, Christian music's playing. You know, it's a little funky at times. But you know what? What an organization of excellence. Now, Michael's kind of good son. You got a nice one here. You went there? Well, of course. And you know, I am a girl. Okay, but they're more organized than most I see. The one in Greenville is so crummy. It really is. And Hobby Lobby's wherever I am. And my house is a Hobby Lobby showplace if I could ever get it out of storage. But again, it's for the purpose of going, hey, clean, sharp, prepared, being service-minded is something taught and expected in both of those organizations. Now, we got a contrast. How about Kmart? I know, that's the reason, okay? That's why I bring it up. You know, funniest thing I heard Rush Limbaugh say that's memorable was this. He said, only in America can two losers get together like Sears and Kmart and think they're going to be winners. You know, we know the rest of the story now, don't we, boys and girls? They both dive bomb, but you know, it was their own fault. It was just pathetic organization. They didn't train their people well. You just felt like you need to go home and take a shower or something after you get done shopping in Kmart most of the time. Now, Target's pretty sharp, you know, most places I go, but they got wacko philosophy guiding them. But again, contrast. We all should be that way. You hear me? As believers in Christ Jesus, we should be clean, sharp, prepared, and service-minded. Now, they do it with a bottom line, probably money, secular goal. But folks, we do it with the goal of representing the God of excellence. And whether we're eating or drinking or whatsoever we're doing, we should do it to glorify and honor Him. And again, folks, it takes a lot of work. Now, traveling as much as I do, I see a variety of ministries. And it's sad that a lot of Christian ministries aren't anywhere close to this. You hear me? They're not. You know, they don't think the way you guys think and the way you on purpose keep that clean, keep that uncluttered. And again, it's an on-purpose thing. But can I say, and I'm not, nobody's been talking to me, I've never been in your home, but your home should be that way. You know, for a testimony to those that may come to visit you, or your car should be that way. Because again, it may not be a brand new one, but you can at least keep it cleaned up. You know, when I went to Bible college, you got to think, I went from owning my own car dealership. I'm 26 years old. I had my own Ford dealership, okay? Dad was going to go preach. I'm there to run the business. I get called to preach. He stays. I go to Bob Jones. Now, Dad was gracious to give me a car. It was Faye Cooter's car. Now, there were only two black families in our entire town, the Mayos and the Cooters. And I got Faye's Torino station wagon. It was gold. He took so nice care of it. It was really a nice ride, except for the spring that came up through the seat and ripped my brand new suit, the only suit that I had, by the way. I was a little bitter over that. But you know what? It was just, again, it wasn't a new car, but I kept it looking showroom new. You know, I cleaned the tires. Back when you had white walls, anybody remember those days? Oh, yeah, clean those white walls up. That's what my dad said. He said, son, it may not be the best used car we have, but you make it look as good as it can. And my dad really, really parked on that as far as, you know, that kind of excellence. So now, what keeps folks from having a testimony of excellence? I want you to think this through, because I think that's the point of choice we all need to arrive to. Whether you got a lot of money or no money, we can still do it the best and give our all for that endeavor. First of all, I believe it's because a lot of folks are just ignorance. Some people just don't think about it. They've never been trained in this capacity or this type of way. Now, I've told you, I've given example of this all the time, even tonight. I've worked about every camp that as far as a fundamental camp can be. I spent 12 years up at Northland. I worked at the Wilds. I've been at Camp Joy. I've been at these places preaching, if not in administration responsibilities. It would always blow my mind during staff training. We'd hire some of the most brilliant, sharp, college kids that you could ever imagine and have a part of your team, but how many of them were clueless to a testimony of excellence? You know, I'd say, if there's a piece of paper on the floor, pick it up. If the picture's crooked, straighten it. You know, if the window's dirty, clean the window. What? They just didn't have a reference. They'd never been challenged in that way. And you know what? They still talk about us cleaning rocks at the Wilds. You know, I mean, at Northland, we'd have get screwdrivers and clean between the sidewalks, you know, in the cracks to get all the junk and gunk out. You guys were torturous. No, we're trying to teach them a lesson and a right response of responsibility. You know, as Christians, we don't have to have, like the PTL club, golden fixtures and, you know, just a little ridiculous presentation of worldliness or whatever, but excellence. Giving our best to best represent Jesus. Giving our all to glorify God all the time. So first of all, I believe for some people, truly, it is just ignorance. They just don't know how that's done. Secondly, I think for some people, and this is probably the bigger one, it's just laziness. And what's laziness driven by? A lack of character and selfishness. Pretty bottom line, but that's bottom line. Now, we get used to our own dirt, don't we? Y'all with me on that? You know, you see something that's been broken for a long time. Yeah, that broke back in 1963. And, you know, yeah, we're going to get to that someday. And people come in and go, they're so neat. Why haven't they fixed that? You know, I do that in the church sometimes. I go, well, this is so this and so that. But why do you do that? You get used to your own dirt physically. But can I say, for conviction's sake, spiritually? You get used to your justified sin. Or again, you excuse it like, well, that's my personality. That's the way my family is. That's the way I grew up. wait a minute, you're a new creature in Christ. You're part of the family of God. And if we're going to rightly represent our Heavenly Father, we need to have a goal before us of a testimony of excellence. Doing things that will, again, improve it. So, again, it makes a greater impact to those who are coming on board to watch and see who and what we are. And, folks, we're doing that, again, as an opportunity getter, as we would say. So, again, you can manifest the God of excellence doing your best, and just show people how much you do care. Because, you know, even in the mindset of excellence, some people don't care. They really don't. They think, well, that's good enough. That is such a sad approach to life, if that's the way you're approaching life. Again, who cares? All that goes back to a mindset of laziness, or really what I would call a pathetic perspective of life. Now, let me back up and tell you why I'm such a nutcase in this area. I worked at Disney World when they first opened, okay? Talk about wackos about excellence. You know, at night, what would happen, and they're not as neat as they even were back in the early 70s, because, I mean, that was all fresh and new. But what would happen at night when I drove the big double-decker omnibus, you know, the antique cars, trolley cars, I worked on those. I was about barely 18 years old. But at night, I'd usually take the last guest out of 65,000 people out the Main Street exit here, and then here'd come these little munchkins. People would come out, painters, light bulb changers, sweepers, and they wanted to look brand new for the next day. That is amazing. And that's, again, caring on how you represent who you're here and there to represent. Now, I got it from my dad, too. My dad was always on us boys like nobody's business, saying, son, I don't ever want to see any fingerprints on that front door. It's first impression, last impression. He says, that's where people come in, and they're getting kind of a reading on what kind of organization we are. I want it cleaned up and kept right. When we'd have to park cars, I kid you not, we had to park the car, you know, lining them up like they do in used car. We'd have to go and make sure that it was exactly bumper where bumper should be with the next car, whether it's at an angle, whether it's straight on. And you know what? If it wasn't, guess who I'd hear from? My dear old dad. But my mom was just as big as a nutcase. You know, my mom, we had five of us, there were five of us kids. And my mom, dad got, you know, we got making a little more money here, and mom's a nervous wreck trying to take care of all us. So dad thought he'd do mom a favor and, you know, hire a cleaning lady to come in once a week. Guess what happened? Mom would clean up the house so she didn't think mom was crummy. Y'all with me? Mom would have it all clean before the cleaning lady got there. I remember like she was a family member. Her name was Marie Eads. And man, she was a house of fire, and she had a spirit of excellence to say the least. But sometimes, folks, you know, we think that means you've got to be a perfectionist. You know what? I'd be a perfectionist if I wasn't so lazy. Y'all with me here? But a perfectionist sometimes always sees the weeds and never enjoys the flowers. That's a whole nother message, isn't it? You know, sometimes people are just critical spirit all the time. And you know what? Some people are giving their best. But it's not where you can be and where you should be in your gifts and what you have and what you have to set forth for God. So again, don't get critical spirit on this. Just again, set forth a goal for yourself to be faithful in this way. Because God wants us to do our best to best represent Him, to bring glory and honor to His name. It's always about Him. It's always for Him. Because, folks, we serve, we seek to please, we seek to bring glory and honor to our God of excellence. Can I have an oh my from the crowd? Yeah, oh my. But I hope that's an encouragement to you as well as a challenge to your heart. Because again, folks, what a blessed privilege we have to serve Jesus and again seek to bring glory and honor to His name. I'm done a little quicker because this was just a short session I had to do here. But we're going to sing before we leave. We're going to try God is So Good one more time. And then we'll turn it back over to Pastor. So let's try it again. Ready? God is so good. God is so good.
God is so good. He's so good to me.
With this one, we're going to do I'll Do His Will again. Ready?
I'll do His will. I'll do His will. I'll do His will. He's so good to me.